the fifth season of Fox's Special Forces World's Toughest Test. Participants will be subjected to chemical gassing and other military-themed challenges. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Andrew Carnegie Foundation, formerly Carnegie Corporation of New York, working to reduce political polarization through support for education, democracy, and peace. More information at carnegie.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from KU Spencer Museum of Art, featuring ancient to contemporary art from around the world, open to the public Tuesday through Sunday and offering parking validation. Exhibition and event information at spencerart.ku.edu.
It's 88 degrees in Topeka, 89 in Lawrence. It is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, lots of other frequencies too. They are listed for you conveniently online at kansaspublicradio.org, where you can also stream both KPR 1 and KPR 2 anytime.
Support for KPR comes from Pines Garden and Market, now offering landscape design and installation services featuring locally grown plants, trees, and shrubs. Open 7 days a week in North Lawrence. Details at pinesgardenmarket.com/KPR.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30. 6:36, we'll talk about these Canadian tariffs. We will learn about a federal civil rights lawsuit challenging the development of a whites-only community in Arkansas. We'll check in with the good folks at Life Kit to give you a leg up on your skin care. Coming up here on Kansas Public Radio. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, where experts connect across a constellation of campuses and disciplines seeking breakthroughs to address complex health, safety, and economic challenges affecting people everywhere. Details at kansas.ku.edu.
Kansas is holding its primary elections on August 4th, with more than 20 candidates for governor and the U.S. Senate. It can be hard to keep track of who's in favor of what. We asked each of the candidates to record a pitch especially for KPR listeners, and you can hear them anytime at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. Get yourself informed and make sure you vote. We do still have an extreme heat warning in effect until 8 p.m. for Neosho County, so stay cool. Chanute, it is 20 minutes past 6.
For generations to come. Learn more at Rivian.com.
This is NPR News.
Some lawmakers are raising concerns about conditions for people with disabilities in ICE detention. This comes after the family of a double amputee launched a national campaign.
When Riley first got detained, the kids' school teachers kept calling. Why the kids would cry and cry? They had different crying spells. They were sad.
That story tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Tune in tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Tomorrow, your hosts are Michelle Martin, Layla Fadel, and Matthew Algio.
Support for KPR comes from Cleo and Leo on Elm Street Bakery and Coffee in North Lawrence, offering Mexican-inspired pastries, coffee, matcha, and more. More information on Instagram and Facebook.
News headlines are coming up in about 40 seconds. It's 88 degrees in Topeka, 85 in Atchison, 90 in Abilene. It is 6:30.
He says they will wait and see if the threatened tariffs go into effect in 30 days. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. A Republican former lawmaker says he has filed an ethics complaint against Kansas Senate President Ty Masterson, a leading GOP candidate for governor. In a statement posted on Facebook, former Kansas Senator Mark Steffen alleges that Masterson is campaigning for governor full-time while collecting a public salary as the director of Go Create at Wichita State University. WSU maintains that Masterson plays an active role at the Koch-funded makerspace and that he performs some of his job functions remotely. The university appears to have removed Masterson's page from its website as of this afternoon. Officials in the Kansas executive branch say they are complying with a new state law regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion. Kansas Secretary of Administration Adam Prophet told the State Finance Council that agencies already made sure not to have any DEI-related programs, training requirements, or job titles. To verify the executive branch did not violate the new law, Prophet says he searched existing job titles.
And none of the job titles contained any of those search terms.
State agencies have also removed gender-identifying pronouns from employee email signatures. The removal of DEI and gender-identifying pronouns fulfills a new requirement lawmakers placed on executive branch agencies. A Kansas man is suing the U.S. Secret Service for allegedly shooting him while agents were returning fire at an armed suspect near the White House. Beck Shackelford Wanganga has the story.
25-year-old Benjamin Del Real Jr. was walking near the White House with his family on May 23rd when an armed man shot at a Secret Service checkpoint across the street. Del Real says he was shot in the abdomen by Secret Service agents returning fire. He says he's had two surgeries and has a third scheduled for next month.
That's been difficult in the sense that, you know, I've had part of my digestive system removed and the implications of that are still uncertain at this time.
Del Real, who is in the Army, says he's uncertain he'll be able to continue his military career. The Secret Service says the agency does not comment on ongoing litigation. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford Wanganga.
If you call 911 in Shawnee County in the future, the first responder on the scene might be a drone. The sheriff's office announced on Monday it is experimenting with drones to test their feasibility for future use. The testing began on July 1st. The drones have already been used to assist first responders at a fire and to locate a vehicle fleeing a retail theft investigation. Sheriff Brian C. Hill says drones could, quote, improve situational awareness and support emergency response.
This is All Things Considered.
NPR News, I'm Kelly Walsh. You can find more tips about how to stay safe this summer at npr.org/lifekit.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
For better or worse, summer always seems to throw everything off.
One, two.
Ah! People get into a different rhythm.
One, two.
But even when your schedule gets thrown, Morning Edition keeps the same hours.
Stay right there. Don't go nowhere. Stay right there.
We're here for you every weekday morning from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. You will hear Morning Edition. It's a great way to start off your day with the latest national, international, and regional news headlines. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 89.7 FM in Emporia, always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Another 11 minutes or so of All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations, stick around at 7:01 for an update of news headlines, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Steve Thiel as your host. At 9 o'clock, it's Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR Two stations, at 7 o'clock, we have Reveal coming your way. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from St. Joseph, Missouri, where the Pony Express began and Jesse James met his end. More information at stjomo.com. That's stjomo.com. Produced in cooperation with Visit Missouri.
Still have an extreme heat warning till 8 o'clock tonight for Neosho County. So if you are in Chanute, take it easy. Get somewhere cool if you can. Drink lots of water. Take care of your pets. Check on your neighbors. Heat advisory till 8 p.m. for Allen Greenwood and Woodson counties. Talking to you, Iola Yates Center and Eureka. It is 89 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
With educational and research resources about the people and ideas behind the nation's origins. Learn more at ProQuest.com. From Fisher Investments, Fisher is committed to helping clients stay on track to reach their financial goals and enjoy a comfortable retirement. FisherInvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From DuckDuckGo, who believes AI should be optional and who've been building privacy tools for 15 years. They now offer Duck.ai, where users can chat privately with AI. Duck.ai. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Some lawmakers are questioning conditions at immigration detention centers for people with disabilities. That story on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Tune in tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Morning Edition is the show. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from the LMH Women's Center, offering a variety of women's health services for patients of all ages. More information is available at lmh.org.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Kansas State Fiddling and Picking Championships, presenting Don Flemons of the Carolina Chocolate Drops in Lawrence's South Park, August 23rd. More information at fidpick.org.
Up next, we have news headlines, then start date, then 2 hours of classical music at 9 o'clock. It's Jazz in the Night. Want to remind you that August 4th is primary election day in Kansas. Each party will choose its candidates for governor and for U.S. Senate. It's a crowded field, but you can hear the candidates in their own words. We ask them to tell KPR listeners why you should vote for them. Hear their responses right now at kansaspublicradio.org. It's 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was on Capitol Hill today asking Congress for tens of billions of dollars to fund the Iran war. The U.S. has been intensifying attacks, and four American service members have died in the last week, as NPR's Quill Lawrence reports.
The president's statements over the past 5 months have sometimes been ignored or quickly walked back, like his suggestion to put a U.S. toll on traffic in the Strait of Hormuz, or they've been contradictory, like a ceasefire deal being dead but also still under negotiation. And many Democrats on the committee pointed out that whatever rationale for the war as it evolves, none of these have landed well with the American people, certainly not well enough to understand why Americans are dying, albeit in relatively small numbers. But these are young soldiers who've died over the weekend. Private Isabella Gonzalez was just 19 years old.
NPR's Quill Lawrence reporting. President Trump says he's directing his administration to allow U.S. airlines to fly commercial flights from the U.S. to Lebanon directly. It comes after Trump met at the White House with Lebanon's president. NPR's Deepa Shivaram has more.
Trump announced the news in a post on social media and says he hopes other countries will also allow direct flights into Lebanon. The timeline on when those flights would be greenlit is unclear. It would be the first time in 40 years the route is available. Trump's push for direct flights into Lebanon comes as the Trump administration issued guidance on Monday to all Americans abroad to, quote, exercise increased caution. The State Department said Americans should reconsider travel to and through the Middle East. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, The White House.
Only about 1 in 8 nurses in the U.S. are men, but efforts to make the profession more gender neutral are taking hold, helped along by a favorable job market. NPR's Andrea Hsu reports.
With nurses in high demand, the University of Alabama at Birmingham has worked for years to bring more men into its nursing school. Faculty there also know that in some cases, male patients respond better to healthcare workers who look like them. Nursing student Connor Adderholt says it was seeing how nurses tended to his grandmother after a stroke that cemented his desire to become one himself.
It made me realize, like, this is what I want to do, like, to deal with these tough situations that people have to deal with, to be that calm in the storm.
Good news for students. The Labor Department projects steady job growth for nurses over the next decade, and the jobs pay well. The national median wage for registered nurses tops $90,000 a year. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
New Jersey's governor says about 6,600 people who indicated they were non-citizens were nonetheless registered to vote in the state because of an error. Democratic Governor Mikey Sherrill says it took place between 2023 and 2024 before she was in office. Sherrill says fewer than 400 of those people ended up casting ballots. This is NPR.
Startdate July 21st. One of the main goals of the twin Viking landers, which touched down on Mars 50 years ago, was to search for life. They found it, but then they didn't. But maybe they really did. If that sounds confusing, well, it is. Scientists have been debating the findings since the beginning, and the debate is still going on. Viking 1 landed on July 20th, 1976, in a smooth plain north of the equator. It was the first fully successful landing. Viking 2 touched down 6 weeks later and 4,000 miles away. Both landers conducted several experiments to look for life. They scooped up some of the powdery dust and dumped it into chemical laboratories for analysis. In one experiment, they added water, nutrients, and a radioactive form of carbon. Any microbes in the samples should gobble up the nutrients and exhale the carbon. And that's what appeared to happen, a sign of life. But other experiments came up empty. They looked for organic compounds, the building blocks of life, and they found nothing. According to most scientists at the time, that ruled out the possibility of life. Instead, the positive results were interpreted as complex chemical reactions. But many scientists continue to say the landers did find life. And over the past decade, there's been a lively conversation about the results. So life at the Viking landing sites remains an open question. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Welcome into our Tuesday evening listening. I'm Steve Seal. Off to Paris with Gershwin. And how could the piece be more appropriately titled? An American in Paris. That's about 10 minutes away. And it's Fanny Mendelssohn here first. This overture played by the Women's Philharmonic, led by Joanne Folletta. an overture by Fanny Mendelssohn, played there by the Women's Philharmonic, conducted by Joanne Folletta.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Neuvaund House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day-stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at neuvaundhouse.com. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on the Resource Center for Independent Living, providing peer counseling, advocacy, and independent living skills training to promote individual choice to persons with disabilities. Details at rcilinc.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 88 and fair. Wind is from the north at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 88 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
We're off to Paris now, and we'll be dodging cars and, I suppose, some scooters as well. I don't know, would they ride Vespas in Paris? Those are Italian. Not saying that they don't ride Italian scooters in Paris, though. But we'll be dodging the Citroëns. Those here as we head off with George Gershwin and an American Paris, played here by the Netherlands Philharmonic, conducted by Mario Venzago.
Thank you.
An American in Paris by George Gershwin. That was Mario Van Zago and the Netherlands Philharmonic of Amsterdam. Good to have you along tonight. I'm Steve Seal. I'm going to stay in Paris for just one more short piece, and with an American composer, actually. And this is from Paul Brantley, so this is something contemporary. And he's a composer and cellist. This is a piece for cello and guitar of his. And it's called Filles d'Élysée, Daughters of the Élysée. Thank you. Filles d'Elysée, or Daughters of the Elysée, by Paul Brantley, another American composer visiting Paris there. Laura Metcalf played the cello. Rupert Boyd played the guitar.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, where experts connect across a constellation of campuses and disciplines, seeking breakthroughs to address complex health, safety, and economic challenges affecting people everywhere. Details at kansas.ku.edu and LMH Health Ortho Kansas, providing advanced orthopedic care to help patients stay healthy and active. More information is available at lmh.org/orthokansas.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 85 and fair. Wind is from the north-northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 85 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Fantasy in C by Robert Schumann, played here by violinist Anna-Sophie Mutter. That is the music of Robert Schumann, his Fantasy in C Major for violin and orchestra. Anna-Sophie Mutter played the violin in that performance with the New York Philharmonic, conducted by Mazur. Check out the archive of the there's a little show that I host on Monday nights called Extra Eclectic. And last night it was all about folk music inspirations in contemporary classical music. We've been looking at American composers throughout the entire month of July, in fact. And this week it was about folk music, and last week was about the jazz influence. You can find all of that online at yourclassical.org. I'm Steve Seal.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio.
KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 85 and fair. Wind is from the north-northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 85 and fair. That's KPR weather.
The other day, I came across a post on Threads, the social media site, from the Harlem Collective Opera, asking the question, who is a black classical musician or composer that more people should discover? And I thought, well, this question is right up my alley. Where do I begin? So I just started listing them. Shelley Washington, Jesse Montgomery, Valerie Coleman, Derek Sky, Jonathan Bailey Holland, Carlos Simon, Ashley Jackson. All living, all amazing contemporary composers. Here's a little bit of Derek Sky that I'm going to play for you. By the way, that's only like 1/100th of the list. Prisms, Cycles, Leaps by Derek Sky is on the way this hour. I'm Steve Skill.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has fired the country's top military commander following days of protests against the general. As NPR's Greg Myrie reports, this is the second major shakeup to the military leadership in the past week.
In a late-night social media post, President Zelensky dismissed the head of the armed forces, General Oleksandr Sirsky. The general, age 60, was credited with winning several key battles in recent years, but he's also a Soviet-trained officer who favored rigid battlefield tactics. He clashed with the popular defense minister, 35-year-old Mikhailo Fedorov, a leading advocate of innovative drone warfare. Zelensky fired Fedorov last week. That ignited the protests in support of Fedorov and against the general. These moves create uncertainty at a moment when Ukraine has regained momentum in the war. Zelensky has named a new general to lead the military, but still has an acting defense minister for now. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Kyiv.
President Trump's pick for Director of National Intelligence is moving to the next stage of his confirmation process, a vote before the full Senate. Jay Clayton was recommended by the Senate Intelligence Committee in a 9-8 narrow party line vote that reflects the partisan divide over the sensitive post. NPR's Eric McDaniel has more.
Committee Chair Republican Tom Cotton of Arkansas says in a statement, quote, Jay Clayton is a highly qualified nominee with deep experience combating a wide range of national security threats. During his confirmation hearing last week, Democrats repeatedly pressed Clayton to acknowledge that President Trump lost the 2020 presidential election. Clayton refused to engage. Trump's acting intel chief, Bill Pulte, has no intelligence background and has been assailed by Democrats who say he used his role as director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency to weaponize records against the president's opponents. Clayton can be confirmed in the full Senate without Democratic support. Eric McDaniel, NPR News, Washington.
The Trump administration is pausing $1 billion in federal Medicaid payments to Minnesota and California over alleged fraud concerns. Federal officials say they'll withhold payments until the states verify that certain Medicaid claims meet federal requirements. Erica Zurich from member station Minnesota Public Radio reports.
Minnesota officials say the $200 million federal officials are withholding makes this the third time payments have been delayed over alleged fraud in health programs. In a written statement, Minnesota Department of Human Services Temporary Commissioner John Connolly says federal officials haven't provided an explanation on how the deferral amount was calculated. The state says it has cooperated with the federal government to prevent the misuse of health funds. California's Governor Gavin Newsom posted on X that the state is being targeted for political reasons and not because of fraud. For NPR News, I'm Erica Zurich in St. Paul.
And you're listening to NPR News from Washington. The director of the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History is pushing back against a White House report labeling the institution's leadership as radical activists. And Thea M. Hartig told a House Oversight Subcommittee today that the report does not fairly represent the museum's work. The report was released on July 4th and criticized the museum as not telling history in an inspiring and unifying way. As the school day goes on, kids have a harder time controlling their physical movements. As NPR's Janaki Mehta reports, a new study suggests this may tell us about students' long-term success in school.
As each hour of the school day ticks by, kids tend to get squirmier. Ask any teacher, and that might not be a surprise to them. But a new study in the journal Developmental Psychology tracked children from around the country for decades, from birth until age 26. As the school day wore on, students started getting more mentally exhausted and tended to move around as a result. The kids that got the squirmiest throughout the day tended to have lower academic scores later down the line, while those who were able to self-regulate and sit still throughout the day tended to do better over the course of their academic career. In fact, kids with more self-control were 20% more likely to finish a four-year degree. But the study also notes not all physical movement is a sign of distraction. Sometimes the wiggles help kids process and learn. Janaki Mehta, NPR News.
A goat named Goldie has been accompanying crews fighting a small wildfire in Colorado. The Colorado Springs Fire Department says Goldie led firefighters to the fire area and helped with fuel mitigation along the way by chomping on leaves. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. This is NPR.
Studio, just... Hello there, I'm Steve Seal, and thanks for tuning in for our Tuesday evening listening. A somewhat lesser-known work by Aaron Copland coming up here in about 12 minutes or so, and... couple other American things, actually. But here, a German-British composer and astronomer, as it turns out. He's a very well-rounded individual, and his name was Frederick William Herschel. Lived from 1738 to 1822, and he made legitimate, pretty big discoveries in the field of astronomy. And as we can hear here, he was quite accomplished as a composer as well, and this is his Symphony No. 8. Thank you. Symphony No. 8 by the 18th century composer William Herschel, who was a composer and an astronomer, but not just any astronomer, an extremely accomplished one. In fact, he is the gentleman who was credited with discovering the planet Uranus. He cataloged thousands and thousands of celestial objects. Over 2,000 in one year, 5,000 in another year. His 8th symphony played there by the London Mozart Players, conducted by Matthias Baumert. A North Star from Aaron Copland, coming up in about 60 seconds.
Public radio is civic infrastructure built for accountability.
The government is actively trying to rewrite this history.
For insight.
That has huge effects here at home, right? What does that look like?
For finding answers.
NPR's investigations team explains what...
For good company.
I keep learning again and again that hope is the right response to the human condition.
We are still here for your right to be curious. This is NPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 85 and fair. Wind is from the north-northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 85 and fair. That's KPR weather.
So this is from Aaron Copland, and it's the score to the 1943 war film called The North Star. Actually, Copland's score to the film earned him an Academy Award nomination. And there was a song included in the film that was had lyrics by Ira Gershwin, as it happened. However, the movie got Copland in a little bit of trouble because even though it was an anti-Nazi film, the protagonists were Soviets. So this led to Copland being brought in front of the House Un-American Activities Committee and Joe McCarthy being labeled a communist sympathizer, even though this was an anti-Nazi film. The North Star by Aaron Copland. Some lesser-known music by Aaron Copland, his score to the 1943 film The North Star, Eos Orchestra, conducted by Jonathan Schaeffer. That's called The Little Stream Sings, the music of Andrew Maxfield, sung by the Salt Lake Vocal Artists, led by Brady Allred.
Curiosity leads to understanding.
What changed your mind?
It bridges divides.
Because it's not a black and white story, in my opinion, about heroes and villains.
And fosters connection.
The more we can interact with actual human beings, the better understanding we'll have of how truly complex and thoughtful people are.
Curiosity brings you here. This is NPR.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and fair. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 82 and fair. From KPR's 24-hour weather center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is from the American composer Derek Skye. Prisms, cycles, leaps.
Thank you.
That's called Prisms, Cycles, Leaps by the American composer Derek Skye, played there by the group Bridge to Everywhere. I'm Steve Seal.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and fair. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the mid-60s. It's 82 and fair. From KPR's 24-hour weather center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The Pentagon has now confirmed a total of 18 U.S. troops killed in action during the Iran war since February. Four soldiers died since last Friday. One was on a U.S. base in Kurdish-controlled northern Iraq during a detonation of a downed Iranian drone. The other three died on a joint U.S. airbase in Jordan. The current Pentagon tally for wounded personnel in the war is 482, 100 of which occurred in the past 2 weeks. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says troop training would have to be cut back if the Pentagon doesn't get the $67 billion in supplemental funds it's requesting from Congress. He also raised concerns about troop pay and weapons that defend against enemy drones and missiles.
Without these funds, we face critical shortfalls that threaten our ability to also simply pay our service members, rapidly replenish equipment and munitions, and sustain vital operations without disruption.
Republicans are trying to pass the budget package before lawmakers take a month-long break to campaign for the midterm elections. Later this week, the Senate will consider another war powers resolution, limiting President Trump's ability to unilaterally wage war. Most Americans disapprove of how Trump is handling the conflict as gas prices spike again. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has formally approved a plan to stop collecting demographic data from employers. For six decades, the data has been used to help fight discrimination on the job, as NPR's Andrea Hsu reports.
The EEOC voted 2-1 along party lines to move forward with this major change. Once a year, large employers must give the government information about the race and sex of their employees. But the agency's current chair, Andrea Lucas, says this reporting requirement imposes significant costs while offering limited enforcement value. She also says it may promote rather than reduce discrimination. Meanwhile, the lone Democrat on the commission, Kalpana Kodagal, says ending the data collection will kneecap the agency's ability to investigate discrimination. Now the public has 30 days to weigh in. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
Federal health officials have remained focused on lettuce from Taylor Farms as a source of the multi-state cyclospora outbreak, despite an inaccurate test result reported over the weekend. NPR's Yuki Noguchi has more.
Experts think we're actually dealing with several unrelated outbreaks right now. The biggest, by far, is Michigan and Ohio, which account for most cases right now. U.S. health officials say iceberg lettuce from Taylor Farms in Mexico was the source. That product was recalled. But now if you look at a heat map of these states where the cases are, the southern Michigan border with Ohio is like the worst. It's like 10 times the rate of that of nearby states.
NPR's Yuki Noguchi reporting. Computer chip makers and other AI winners carried Wall Street higher today. This is NPR News. Tropical storm Bertha is expected to weaken in the Gulf of Mexico as it gets closer to the U.S., but forecasters say it still could bring coastal flooding and heavy rain from the Florida Panhandle to Louisiana. Areas along the northern Gulf Coast are under a tropical storm warning through tomorrow and could see heavy rain and flooding into Thursday morning. Federal prosecutors in New York City are charging a man with arson for setting off fireworks and igniting a blaze outside the city's biggest immigration court. Samantha Max of member station WNYC reports.
Prosecutors say Andrew Arabaca spent months planning the attack and buying supplies. They say he purposely chose to carry it out at a busy entrance and that he knew his actions could put people in danger. Prosecutors also say he confessed to what he did and why he did it after his arrest. Arabaca's defense attorney says his actions were likely motivated by mental illness. The defense asked the judge to release him to a psychiatric hospital, not send him to jail. The judge said she wants Arabaca to get treatment, but she's not convinced that he'll comply, so she ordered that he be held in jail instead. Officials say three people suffered minor injuries, including one immigrant on the way to a court appointment. For NPR News, I'm Samantha Max in New York.
Serial swindler and ex-Republican Congressman George Santos will be a reality TV show contestant. In September, Santos will appear on the fifth season of Fox's Special Forces World's Toughest Test. Participants will be subjected to chemical gassing and other military-themed challenges in a Malaysian jungle. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
Don't you be afraid to swing and shoot. If you feel the rhythm, what you gonna do? You be the queen of everything. One is never too old to swing. Don't you be shy or pretty cat. If you're over 50, that's a killer jack. Cause you be the queen of everything. One is never too old to swing. Let me tell ya about my mom and pop. They do the boogie woogie round the clock. They turn the radio way low down so the neighbors won't hear them going to town. Get right in the groove and send yourself. If you got a worry, put it on the shelf. But you be queen of everything. One is never too full to swing. special. You've been queen of everything. Cause what is never too old to swing.
Catherine Russell and her latest album from this spring, live at Jazz at Lincoln Center, with Never Too Old to Swing, a Tiny Grimes song from back in the 40s. Catherine specializes in unearthing a lot of great swing material from really the late 20s through the 1940s. And the new album, live at Jazz at Lincoln Center, musical director for that is guitarist Matt Monasteri, and the likes of trumpeter John Eric Calso and trombonist John Allred, and saxophonist Evan Artson is part of the band as well. I'm Bob McWays. Welcome to Jazz in the Night. Pianist Glenn Zaleski leading a quintet on a James Williams tune, and we'll debut a new album from organist Larry Goldings, guitarist Peter Bernstein, and drummer Bill Stewart in a bit. But right now, the new one from the Reed Hoysen Project. That is a band led by drummer Reed Hoysen, with sax and flute work by Keith Bishop, Billy Test doing the keyboards, Tony DePaola's bass, Reed Hoysen the drummer, Hugo Cruz percussion, and the special guest on this album is guitarist Dan Wilson, and one that is out of the Clifford Brown songbook from Clifford Brown's George's Dilemma. It's Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. Jason Project and a tune by the great trumpeter Clifford Brown from back in the 1950s called Flossie Lou. The new album is called Home, the Reed Hoison Project. Some great percussion in there from Hugo Cruz, the bassist Tony DePowell, the pianist Billy Test, flute from Keith Bishop, guitar by Dan Wilson, the leader, drummer Reed Hoison on Kansas Public Radio's Jazz in the Night. Out of the vinyl vault a little bit later this hour, it's alto saxophonist Phil Woods' quintet. And up next, one that pianist Glenn Zaleski did that came out back in 2020, the album called The Question, a quintet with Lucas Pino on tenor sax and Adam O'Farrell trumpet, Desmond White on bass and Alan Menard on drums. At the piano, Glenn Zaleski, a tune by the late great pianist James Williams called Road Life.